When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Now, welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Craig Mitch, David Matic, waiting news on Derrick Henry's MRI could potentially be out for the season, according to ESPN, according to NFL Network. Adrian Peterson is visiting with the Titans. It'll be a big fantasy week for those of you who are Derrick Henry owners for sure. Jameis Winston, as Chris mentioned, out for the season. New Orleans Saints going to hope Taysom Hill gets healthy. If not, it's Trevor Siemian and Von Miller, the former defensive player of the year and Super Bowl champion with the Broncos, headed to the Rams. Not to mention World Series action going on too. I want to get to that here in a sec. Monday Night Football. No baseball tonight, so we got Monday Night Football. The Chiefs are -10.5 against the New York Giants. I saw a report earlier that said Kadarius Toney may play tonight, so we'll see on that one. NBA, of course, let's not forget. 9-game slate. Nuggets-Grizzlies, one of the big games. The trade deadline in the NFL is tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern, and it looks like Albert Pujols wants to continue his career as he's playing in the Dominican Republic. He's playing in the Dominican Winter League, Leones de Escondido. I think Brett put that in the lineup just for me to say that. But Davis, let's go real quick to the World Series here for a minute. That's what was consuming me yesterday, watching the Braves and Astros. Atlanta, of course, didn't have any starting pitchers the last couple of days. So the fact that they won 2 out of 3 at home, I think, is probably a bonus. Now Atlanta has their 2 starters going for Game 6 and Game 7. Houston used Urquidy yesterday. He was supposed to pitch in Game 6 on Tuesday. But, I still think that there's a chance that the series could go 7 games, without a doubt.
Yeah, I mean, tonight we have, or tomorrow night, we think we're probably going to get Max Fried and Luis Garcia, the over-under for that game. I mean, that's kind of what's been exciting about these games is we've had a lot of run scores, right? You know, the Astros with 9. I guess the game 4 was a little bit damp with only 5 total runs in that game, but we've seen some home runs, right? Altuve hits one. So is there anything more enjoyable in baseball than watching little Jose Altuve hit a home run? Cause you just look at him. You're like, how does his body even generate that power? It feels a little bit absurd. I am, of course, rooting for the 7-game series since I don't really care about either one of these teams at this point. I mean, I feel of all the possible combinations of World Series, Astros Braves is a rather odd one. And definitely looking back, this World Series will just be an example of the randomness in baseball. The Astros or the Braves making a World Series without Ronald Acuña Jr. I mean, that's got to be one of the most unreal stories in terms of like running hot in the postseason in baseball history, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's the Braves still a great story. Duvall hits a grand slam in the first inning. Houston comes all the way back in that one. Only problem with a game like last night is that so many pitching changes, no starting pitchers, game ends so late at night, hard to stay up for most people to watch the entire thing. I don't think you'll have that problem on Tuesday, as you'll have some starting pitchers, less pitching changes, less stoppages for sure. All right, NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, Davis reports that Derrick Henry's going to have surgery. I guess this was just spoken at Mike Vrabel's press conference. So the timetable, at least according to what I'm reading here, you know, not being the expert on this, is basically at least 2 months from what I'm seeing here. At least 2 months. So that would appear that if that's November and December, that leaves no window here for him to return, I guess, in the regular season. maybe like a championship week, Davis. Like, I guess, I mean, maybe you are putting him on your IR if it is 2 months, I guess. Is there any time left?
I mean, I probably wouldn't cut Derrick Henry at this point because, you know, I guess one important thing is the Titans are not even going to, I don't think they would be in a position to be able to rest people in the final week of the season because of seeding stuff. They actually, this is true, they have the most wins in the AFC right now. They are it's just because of how the bye weeks have worked out. You know, the Ravens are just on bye. The Raiders have took their bye, and the Buffalo Bills have had a bye already, and the Titans haven't. So they have two losses. But they might be in contention for the number one overall seed or you know, just battling for seeding purposes in general. So if Derrick Henry is eligible and able to come back in that week 18 game or week 17, then I would assume that they would want him back. So I wouldn't cut Derrick Henry right now. But if we get a bad report in 2 weeks or something, like, oh, actually, they're just going to put him on the shelf. They're not going to try to get him back. I think then I would cut him. But I don't think I would cut him this week.
Yeah, I mean, season-long IR, you know, a different story. So we'll have to see. But with surgery, there's no question that he's not playing for you anytime soon. So you got to come up with backup options. As we've discussed that, if you want to go back and check out our show on demand, and you know, Davis and I went through some options tomorrow on the show. I believe George Kurtz will be in. We'll go over some options as well, some trade options, fantasy waiver wire options. Biggest story for sure of the season in fantasy football, no doubt. Real quick, Davis, tonight's Giants-Chiefs game, I'm up 14 points in a PPR league up against Kadarius Toney. How am I feeling about
that? You're done. I think maybe you'll feel good about it in the first half, but my thesis on this game is that if the Chiefs struggle at all against the Giants, like, we got to just be done. Like, we got to just tune out of the Kansas City Chiefs for the rest of the year because something is irredeemably fixed with them. So I think they just get up big. The Giants will be chucking the ball. I think Kadarius might get 14 targets in this game.
All right, we'll see. Not good news for me, that's for sure. All right, coming up next, we've got the Patriots and Chargers. Chargers dropping another one. Boy, Chargers is a favorite. Just never seems to work out, does it? Patriots, Chargers, fantasy, coming up next. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Got a notification here on social media, Davis, from my buddy Andy Slater, that sports betting officially for the first time ever has become legal in Florida. How about that? Here in South Florida. So I'll have to check that out a little bit later when I'm done with the show. All right, back to fantasy we go. Let's take a look at the Patriots and Chargers yesterday. Chargers were favored. New England has played competitive very much in a lot of games this season. Mac Jones looks pretty good again. 18 of 35, 218 passing yards. Damien Harris, 80 rushing yards on the ground and one touchdown. Nelson Aguilar, 3 for 60. Nick Folk kicked 4 field goals. Patriots defense just played fantastic against the Chargers, who have definitely just thud right back to earth. Justin Herbert, 18 of 35, 223 passing yards, 9 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, but 2 interceptions. One was a pick 6. Austin Eckler, another huge fantasy day with 2 touchdowns, 6 receptions, 60 yards, 64 on the ground. Justin Jackson also pitched in 79. Quiet day for Mike Williams, but Keenan Allen got 20 fantasy points, 6-4, 77, and a touchdown. I think New England is one of the more underrated teams, Davis, in the NFL. Not fun for fantasy, obviously, but in reality, when your offense is going up against New England, you got to give some pause. They have looked really good, almost with a shot to beat Dallas. Probably could have beaten Dallas when Dallas had Dak and they were on all systems go. And here they are, you know, basically just shutting down the Chargers for 4 quarters. Really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Patriots struggle against truly elite offensive teams because they don't have a ton of speed on either side of the ball. That has been a Patriots problem. How many years have we been talking about the Patriots' lack of speed on offense? They have always had a good defense. You know, Bill Belichick does pride himself on being a really good defensive coach. McDaniels, I think McDaniels has done a very good job making Mac Jones comfortable. People are going to overrate this Mac Jones performance a little bit. I mean, he went 18 to 35. He averaged 6.2 yards per attempt. They got some timely turnovers. They got the defensive special teams. I just love this from the Chargers because, of course, you know, they start off the season hot. They beat the Chiefs, and you start hearing, oh, is Justin Herbert actually the best quarterback in the NFL? Justin Herbert or Patrick Mahomes? Oh, we love the Chargers. Brandon Staley, he's so smart. He says all the right things at the press conferences. Oh, the Chargers, boat race by the Baltimore Ravens. They lose to Mac Jones and the New England Patriots. And look, it comes back down to earth a little bit, which, by the way, is one of the reasons why if you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan, you like, yes, this is the most tumultuous being a Kansas City Chiefs fan has ever been. Well, not ever been, but since Patrick Mahomes got drafted, I think we can all take a deep breath and relax a little bit. This is crazy. The Chiefs can still win the division if they you know, kind of handle business in the games where they need to handle business and beat the Chargers when they play later in the year. But if for fantasy, the Patriots have one guy who you want to start. That guy is Damian Harris. They had 11 different players with a target. No player got more than Jacoby Myers' 9 targets, but of course, another game without scoring for Jacoby Myers. And the players that you're starting for the Chargers are Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen. Rough game for Mike Williams yesterday. You know, whatever. Wide receiver production is volatile. That stuff happens.
All right, let's move on to Seattle and Jacksonville, where the Seahawks dominate the Jaguars from start to finish. Jaguars, even off of bye week, it was just ugly. Geno Smith, 20 of 24, 195 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 on the ground. Travis Homer also had a kick return for a touchdown. I want to get to that in a sec. That was an onside kick. Tyler Lockett, 12 for 142. DK Metcalf had 2 touchdowns in this game. 6 receptions, 43 yards after the game. DK says, simply put, they wanted to get a win for Geno Smith.
You know, this is the NFL. Everybody's good. Everybody has good teams, good players. So, you know, just for Geno to come in here while Russ is gone and just get his, you know, get his feet wet, you know, just get his first win. Because, you know, we're all used to Russ, but, you know, just gathering around Geno, just supporting him through practice, through, you know, if he makes a bad play or, you know, we drop a ball, it's all about, you know, coming back together, just sticking together throughout this adverse time.
Geno Smith could be back in 2 weeks. We'll see. Maybe Seattle's season was saved with that win. Certainly the Jaguars just show up yesterday and just some weird things happened again. Trevor Lawrence, 53 attempts, 32 were complete, 238 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. James Robinson was hurt in this game, so Carlos Hyde was the leading rusher with 32 yards, 6 receptions, 40 yards. Jamal Agnew had a touchdown. And then the one thing you can say about this season is Urban Meyer wanted to make Dan Arnold a thing, and Davis, he has succeeded. 8 receptions, 68 yards for Dan Arnold on Sunday. Jacksonville, very late in the game, Davis was down 3 touchdowns. They don't go for a 2-point conversion, but then they do an onside kick immediately after that. Made no sense whatsoever. Seattle returns it for a touchdown. Jaguars, disaster. Good. I don't expect this again from Seattle with Geno Smith, but at least Geno got his one win before he goes back to the bench.
Well, is he? Is he going to go back to the bench? Because what I've heard with Russell Wilson is that this is an injury where he's got to really rehab it, or his finger might not ever be right again. And, you know, it is on his throwing hand, so it's not like – it's not like he can go through life without the use of one of these fingers and be like a really good NFL quarterback. And I mean, this is a big win for their season. And the reason why that is it's kind of wide open in the NFC. So right now, you know, the Cardinals and the Rams are locked into winning this division and to getting one of the wild card spots. But the other wild card teams are the New Orleans Saints, who are going to have to turn the offense over to Taysom Hill. And then the other teams that would be in the running for it, I think even the Seahawks with Geno are better than the Carolina Panthers. The Eagles are 3-5. The Bears are 3-5, and the Minnesota Vikings are 3-4. I mean, even with Geno, the Seahawks, and really the thing with the Seahawks is Metcalf is completely uncoverable. There just is nothing you can do with DK Metcalf. You could chip him at the line. You can put a safety over the top of him. It simply does not matter. Like, that guy cannot be covered by mere mortals. And Tyler Lockett had been horrible, like horrible, with Geno Smith at quarterback. And they figured it out. You know, yesterday they figured it out. They threw 22 passes. 13 of them were directed to Tyler Lockett. The only other players who were even targeted on the Seattle Seahawks were Gerald Everett, who got 2, and Travis Homer got 1. Don't think you're going to see very many NFL games where only 4 players on a team are targeted, but they are just playing big-time Pete Carroll football right now, right? They are running the crap out of the ball, and they are just doing really high percentage, you know, keep the sticks moving throws, and then taking shots to DK Metcalf every once in a while. And, you know, we spent a lot of time last week because we were talking about that Cardinals-Packers game about the relationship between wide receiver skill and quarterback production. I mean, it really should not be that surprising that Geno was able to get wins against, you know, these bad teams, because he's throwing to the two best guys he would have ever played with in his life.
And Jacksonville looks great, Davis. They just keep rolling on, getting the ball to Dan Arnold.
Urban Meyer, is he going to make it to the end of the season? This performance from the Jaguars should be considered one of the most embarrassing performances of a team in NFL history, because this is not a non-talented offense, right? Trevor Lawrence is a really talented quarterback. Marvin Jones is a really talented veteran wide receiver. They've gotten these really surprising performances from Dan Arnold and Jamal Agnew. They have Laviska Shenault, who they are just using as a boundary wide receiver for some reason. I mean, this is really, really embarrassing stuff for Urban Meyer. And I think that if Urban Meyer had a shred of self-awareness, he would just be very embarrassed about the product his team is putting on the field. But I don't know if he does.
Yeah, no, it's I'm sad, man. I'm sad. Like, you know, I mean, Davis, it's the equivalent, like, of, I guess, with you with, like, Bob Stoops, you know? Like, if he failed,
yes.
Bob Stoops is probably better, though, than people like him more than they like Urban Meyer. But, like, this guy found Tebow. Like his group found Tebow. They won championships as a Gator. And now it's, like, just a disaster. Oh. Saints Bucks are... Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Of you who are dedicated watchers of Sports Grid and Fantasy Sports Today, just to give you a little schedule update for the rest of the week. I know sometimes we're here, we're not, so just going to set it up for you here. Davis and I here today for 2 hours till 2:00 Eastern. Tomorrow, myself and George Kurtz on Tuesday, and then I'm taking a one-day breather on Thursday, so it'll be Davis and George Wednesday and Thursday, and then I will return back Friday to host Fantasy Sports Today. And also, by the way, on Sunday, I'll be doing pro football today. So it's like halfway through the season, Davis, it is like breather time, you know? Like, unfortunately for me, it's only one day. But, like, we've grinded out to this point, right? Like, to get to the halfway point of the season. And I don't know if you get to – was last weekend the one that you said that you were going apple picking or something like that? Did you end up doing anything?
No, I said I did, but obviously I didn't. I mean, I've taken no. I mean, I got that bad cold like 3 weeks ago. That was kind of my vacation.
That was
for
break?
Like 3 days. That was my break. Was I literally did not get out of bed because my body is so not used to getting viruses because I, you know, haven't been sick in 2 years basically, and that was my break. Getting a real bad cold was my break.
Well, tomorrow, take your day from here, George, and I will hold it down for World Series Game 6 Okay, back to fantasy football we go. The Saints have the Bucs number during the regular season when Tom Brady is quarterback. I think we can say that at this point. It is 3-0 the Saints are against the Bucs in the regular season the last 2 years. Jameis Winston yesterday, Davis said he looked great. 6 of 10, 56 yards, 40 rushing yards, and a touchdown. He's out for the season. Trevor Siemian came in. He did just enough to not lose the game. That's what I would say. 16 of 29, 159 through the air. Alvin Kamara, 61 rushing yards, 3 receptions, 15 yards, and a touchdown. Traquan Smith also caught a touchdown. My Marquez Callaway, not much happening for him. For Tampa Bay, Tom Brady did what he normally does, which is throw 4 touchdowns in an NFL game. He also threw for 375 yards. Giovanni Bernard caught one of those touchdowns. Good to see him involved. Chris Godwin, another huge game, 8 for 140 and a score. Mike Evans, 2 receptions, 48 yards and a touchdown. But Davis, this is the Saints thing. They beat the Bucs during the regular season. The Bucs basically dominate everybody else. But when they play against New Orleans, they seem to have a tough time. The Winston injury is obviously pretty big, so let's start there. Like, what do the Saints do at quarterback? Is there any fantasy ramifications from this moving forward? And also, Michael Thomas, I think, is due to return soon for them as well, if he does at all.
Yeah, it's like the Michael Thomas thing. We get like we got no updates for the first 2 months of the season. Then he's eligible to come off of the because he was on the PUP list, so he was eligible to return. And the only thing they said was he's not ready yet. They didn't say he's running, he's not running, he's put pads on. Nothing. No updates of the variety. All they said was that he's not coming back yet. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, would it really be that surprising if Michael Thomas is done playing for the Saints? I don't know. It just seems like such a fractured relationship between him and the Sean Payton. I don't know. It just seems like they don't like each other that much. Jameis did, though. We were just kind of getting the full Jameis experience. He was running around like a chicken with his head cut off, pump faking, you know, threw a couple deep shots to Traquan Smith. One got there, one didn't. Trevor Siemian comes in. Huge, huge, huge fantasy day for Chris Godwin. Huge fantasy day for Tom Brady. You know, the people who are really relying on Leonard Fournette, they had to have been tilting their faces off yesterday. Leonard Fournette gets 8 carries for 26 yards. He was targeted 5 times in the passing game, caught 3 of them for 17 yards. Giovanni Bernard scores a 7-yard touchdown. He also ran 2 times for 30 yards. Ronald Jones got in there for 3 rushes and a target. Gronk came back, but then got injured again. So I don't remember what his specific injury was. I don't know if he re-injured the same thing or if he suffered a new injury, but he got hurt and then was immediately ruled out. I guess if we're looking for a little bit of an actionable nugget here, Tyler Johnson played the same snap share that he did the week before, but actually was second on the team in receiving, 6 targets, 5 receptions, 65 yards, outgained Mike Evans, a special teams guy, Cyril Grayson, completely uncovered, scores a 50-yard touchdown. But Tyler Johnson, probably worth a small waiver claim. 7 targets for Deontay Harris yesterday. You know, Trevor Siemian threw 29 times, averaged 5.5 yards per attempt. Taysom was out with a concussion. He should be back for the Saints starting next week. You know, I don't think Taysom is going to play that well, but kind of similar to Jalen Hurts, it doesn't really matter if he's not playing that well as an NFL quarterback, because we know that he is going to run. So we have to feel pretty, pretty good about that.
Yeah, wonderful bye week fill-in at this point. I mean, if Taysom rushes for 1.5 rushing touchdowns per game, I mean, just look at those fantasy points, what they're going to look like at the end of the season. End is here for Jameis Winston. We'll see what he ends up doing next year. Kind of funny in the locker room. I don't know if you saw on Instagram, one of the Saints players posted them dancing in the locker room, and Jameis was there dancing with a cast on his leg and the crutches going up and down. It was actually kind of funny. All right, I'm now convinced I know who the worst quarterback in the NFL is after watching this game yesterday. Denver and Washington. Boy, backing Washington was a bad idea by me. Teddy Bridgewater, 19 of 26, 213 yards and a touchdown. Fantasy superstar Melvin Gordon continues to roll on. 47 rushing yards, 2 more touchdowns yesterday. Also had 3 receptions. Tim Patrick, 3 for 64. Jerry Jeudy returned to the field. That was good. Caught a very important late pass in this game. 4 receptions for 39 yards. Man, I hate to throw anybody under the bus, Davis, but Taylor Heinicke. I mean, come on, man. Like, I have seen it. I mean, there's got to be somebody better than this guy. No offense, Taylor. I am sorry. two. I mean, no awareness, taking sacks. Like, the guy's like right in front of you. Ah, so frustrating backing Washington. Heinicke, 272, one touchdown, two interceptions, one brutal one. Good news for J.D. McKissic. He had eight receptions for 83 yards. Antonio Gibson, this is another interesting part of this, 34 yards, three receptions, 20 yards. DeAndre Carter caught a touchdown. McLaurin was quiet. Also for Washington, Davis, Jarrett Patterson played a lot more this week than I had seen him play in the past, and I got to recommend him as just a stash. I know I've been stashing him all season, hoping maybe that's going to come in. I don't know. We'll see. But Denver did not do anything spectacular in this game. Washington just basically handed them the game. They did nothing the entire game, and anytime they were close, they threw an interception or fumble. That was it.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor Heinicke is just straight up not very good. I mean, you don't have very many biases, Craig, but you really hate the Denver Broncos. That is definitely one of your things. Yeah, you really, really do not like the Denver Broncos. I mean, I have...
Because I think they have talent. I think they're good. I think they have players.
Yes.
There's no question.
No,
they should be much
you're right.
Better.
I mean, I think that the Broncos brass, I think that their front office has basically... I mean, if they had Mac Jones right now, wouldn't they be the favorite to win this division? I mean, Mac Jones
no,
or Justin
the
Fields.
The coaching is terrible. The coaching is awful. The plays are awful. I don't know what they do. Why don't they throw?
I don't know. If they had a little bit of bad luck with injury, sure, but they get Judy back in this game. I mean, Judy, four targets, caught all of them, whatever. They basically didn't need to throw in this game at all because Taylor Heinicke ate five sacks, two turnovers. I mean, Taylor Heinicke, dude, like, I don't know. There was a little bit of... Remember that playoff game against the Buccaneers, and there's like some rumbling, oh, Heinicke, you know, competitive game. No, it is absolutely not going to be happening for Taylor Heinicke.
All right, so we got an update here. Let me pull it up here. Brett, our producer, is sending me the message here. According to NFL Network, okay, so 6 to 10 weeks for Derrick Henry, who had surgery, in case you missed it, just joining us here on the show. So your analysis there, Davis, is spot on. Basically, what you got to do is you got to hold on to Derrick Henry this week. If your league has an IR spot, you can hold him there probably indefinitely unless you have several players out. On the short end, it's 6 weeks. But the bottom line is that after basically we have nuke-bombed your fantasy season by owning Derrick Henry, just maybe, Davis, just maybe, if your team is good enough to get to the playoffs and you win one game, maybe you get him for game two. So you probably can't cut him.
How could you cut him? If there's any chance that he's back in 6 weeks, I mean, I would say that this timetable looks really optimistic because there was reporting that this was a Jones fracture. Now, if it's not actually that and he ends up healing, you know, faster than that, then of course, yeah. But like, I just would not cut Derrick Henry until they say he's done for the year. Like, if there's a chance that you can hold on to Derrick Henry and start him in the fantasy football playoffs, you have to hold him for that eventuality.
Let's be honest. Any team in fantasy football that is above 500 that sees you cut Derrick Henry is going to pick Derrick Henry up. So you may as well hold on to him for a couple of weeks for sure. All right, Cowboys and Vikings. This was another disgusting game yesterday. Probably the worst performance from any team I've seen in the Minnesota Vikings. How in the world did they lose this game yesterday? Just basically playing it so conservatively. Cooper Rush, hey, congratulations to him, man. All that waiting, 325 yards, two touchdowns, amazing pass in the back of the end zone to Cooper to win it. I switched away from the World Series to see that. CeeDee Lamb had 6 and 112. Cedric Wilson also involved in the offense. Gallup is due to return. That changes, 3 for 84 and a score. On the side of Minnesota, they don't even deserve their this graphic here on the show with how pathetic they played. Kirk Cousins, 184 in the air and a touchdown, just doesn't fare well at night for whatever reason. Dalvin Cook, 78. Thielen, 6 for 78 and a touchdown. Conklin, 5 for 57. What a watershed game, Davis, for Dallas. Just taking a big risk here, not playing Dak and coming out with a win. I guess I'll just give them the credit, but Minnesota was awful on Sunday night.
Best team in the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys. They're good. They're just really good.
Yeah, hard to argue at this point. Yeah, if Dak is healthy, obviously they're not winning anything with Cooper Rush long term. Okay, we got fantasy or reality coming up next, so make sure you stay with us and stay on the grid, and we'll talk a little Green Bay Packers coming up next and some fun pop culture topics as well. This is Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here for the next 20 or so minutes, and then we got to get out of here for this Monday. Now, I'm not going to see Davis again until Friday because of just our wacky schedules here. So the NFL trade deadline is tomorrow, Davis. Before we get to fantasy reality, I'm going to give you fantasy reality one more before we go here. When I see you again on Friday, we're going to be talking about Tua getting ready for his next game with the Dolphins and Deshaun Watson as a member of Houston and looking it back at the last 3 months as a complete waste of time. Is that fantasy or reality? When I see you Friday.
Reality. Every time we talked about it on the show, I said the same thing. I said Deshaun Watson does not even go to trial for this legal case until February. Everything that we heard about the legal case was bad. There was no like, oh, yeah, you know, X, Y, or Z, maybe it's going to work out. No, it was all bad. And what I have come to understand about the situation is the NFL just did not want to set itself up to for them to be legally open to action from Deshaun Watson if, for whatever reason, Watson was able to get out of all of this. They did not want Watson to be able to sue them for, like, lost wages or anything. So they basically put it on the Texans organization. And the Texans organization, same thing. They didn't want to put themselves in a bad spot. It was all a waste of time. Tua is going to start every game while healthy for the Dolphins. Jalen Hurts is going to start all the health. You know, if he's healthy, he's starting all the games for the Eagles. Deshaun Watson will close the season as a member of the Houston Texans. And I think on the balance of probability, Deshaun Watson is more likely than non-likely to never play football again, in my opinion.
Crazy. All right. Brett Levy, he's standing by here. His Syracuse Orange are covering spreads every week, all excited about the college football season. Maybe a bowl game coming for Brett as well. Let's turn over for some fantasy or reality.
All right. We have some good ones today, Craig and Davis. So let's get started because the Manning cast has had a number of guests who are current NFL players, and none of them have won the following week. Travis Kelce was on, lost in week two. Russell Wilson was on, lost the next week. Rob Gronkowski was on, lost the next week. Tom Brady was on, lost yesterday, and Matt Stafford the week prior. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. The Manning cast curse is real. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I mean, it's pretty funny, right? I haven't even noticed this up until now, but it is pretty funny that, and by the way, Russell Wilson gets injured after, Rob Gronkowski gets injured after that. I mean, that is pretty funny. It'll definitely are they, Craig, do you know if they're doing the Manning cast tonight? We'll have to keep our eyes open to see who some of the guests are to help us with wagering next week. But I mean, yes, this is a fantasy. I'm not a very superstitious guy. I'm not really big on curses, you know, the Madden curse and everything like that, which, by the way, anytime we talk about curses in sports brings me back to the fact that Peyton Hillis was once on the cover of Madden, which is basically it's really one of the funniest things in the history of sports. I mean, it's just absolutely hilarious. He was on the cover of a video game. But I really enjoy the Manning cast. It is a good TV product.
Yeah, why do we always have to make a curse out of something here? Why can't it just be bad luck? I mean, come on. This is fantasy. It's just bad luck. The teams have lost. The players have lost. And shame on whoever it is that's coming up with this and looking at all the stats. Can't we just enjoy something good? I mean, play-by-play and color TV in general is pretty dreadful as it is. And look, I understand you got to make a buck and there's a great hustle. People are good at their jobs for sure. I'm not knocking them, but I mean, we really don't need it in general. This is something good. Like, this should be the main broadcast for Monday Night Football. It's really enjoyable to see these guys talk. I think they do a phenomenal job. They found their calling. It's probably only the beginning for Peyton and Eli. If they want to continue to do this. It's at a very high level, of course, on Monday Night Football. So I'm going to say fantasy. I don't want to hear about any more curses, Brett. Don't give me any more curses.
I don't know, Craig. We might have the Manning cast curse. But the Green Bay Packers went into Arizona on Thursday night, and they took care of business without their number one receiver. They were missing a few other pieces. I think their center might have been hurt. So we saw a lot of upsets in the NFL this weekend, Craig, and we'll start with you for this one. The Green Bay Packers are the best team in the NFL. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I mean, it's close, but no, they are not. It's a fantasy for me. I think that in a Super Bowl where Green Bay would play Baltimore, I probably would take Baltimore. I'm not ruling out the Ravens from anything at this point. They definitely could win a championship. If the Chiefs turn it around, I absolutely could see the Chiefs being better than the Packers. And then, I mean, you had Dallas with Cooper Rush last night going to Minnesota and winning that game yesterday. Dallas, better team than the Packers, too. So it's close, though. It's not that far. Like, I would think that those teams that I just mentioned, if I had a power ranking, would put Green Bay near. If I had points, I would say that those teams are probably a point or two better. The Packers could also make a trade this week that could change things, too. The Rams, I don't want to forget about the Rams. The Buccaneers are probably better. So, yeah, I think it's close. That's the difference this year, is I don't see one or two dominant teams. It just feels like everybody sort of bunched together. What does that mean? Buffalo, too. What does that mean? It means in a one-game scenario, anything can happen. And I don't think that any team has really separated themselves, but I can't call the Packers the best team in the NFL. Can't do it.
No, they're not the best team in the NFL. And they're not the best team in the NFL for a couple reasons. The first is, and this really only matters for them when it gets to playoff games, but they only have one talented pass catcher, which you could totally get by in the regular season. You can scheme up a lot of stuff. You know, they can give Aaron Jones the ball. They can use AJ Dillon like they did against the Arizona Cardinals. But when it gets to be the playoffs, you're going to have a real problem, you know, only having one really good skill position player. You know, the Buccaneers have Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, Mike Evans. The Cowboys have CeeDee, Amari, Zeke. They're getting Michael Gallup back. The Arizona Cardinals have Hopkins, Kirk, Rondale, AJ Green, Chase Edmonds, Zach Ertz. Like, they have all these talented skill position players. The AFC, you know, the Ravens have Marquise Brown and Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews. The Chiefs have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Like, all these teams have at least two, which is why, you know, going back to the Jordan Love pick, why I still think, despite the results that the Packers have gotten since that pick, the results have been very good. It's why people still say, you know, you could have had Michael Pittman. You could have had T. Higgins. You know, you could have had all these guys who would have really helped Rodgers, and they just chose not to do them. Also, you know, the Packers defense is not particularly good. They're right in the middle of the road in terms of yards per play allowed on defense, you know, basically the same as teams like the Seahawks and the Packers are both allowing the same yards per play on defense, and that's not very good, right? So the Cowboys are the best team in the NFL right now on the basis of results. If I had to pick one team right now, like, okay, you pick one team and they have to beat, you know, whoever the winner of the other conference is, I would still take the Chiefs. I really would. And I know that is not a popular opinion. That's, in fact, a very unpopular opinion. I would still take the Chiefs. So this is a fantasy for me.
I mean, AFC seems, you know, sort of wide open. I mean, Buffalo, too. Can't forget about them. Yeah, fantasy for sure.
All right. Our last one, and probably the biggest story of the weekend, Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian were seen, I believe, at Disney World or Disneyland, whichever one, holding hands on rides and seen together throughout the park. And people were posting the pictures all over social media. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson's relationship will last 1 year. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I mean, this is a fantasy. I assume that, like, at some point Kanye and Kim will probably try to figure things out. But the other element of this is Pete Davidson just loves to date for a little while, right? Like, he dated what's her name? Ariana Grande, and then was dating some other model after that. And, like, he just, like, I mean, that's just kind of his thing, is he's like, Pete Davidson, I'm just the chill stoner guy, and we'll hang out, and like, that's fine. Yeah, I would, for both inputs, right? Both inputs of this equation, Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson. This is a stone cold fantasy for me. I would probably take the under on 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, she was married to Humphreys, the basketball player, for like a couple weeks, right? Maybe less than that, something along those lines. But yeah, but the Kanye relationship did last a long time. The whole Pete Davidson, Ariana Grande thing was bizarre from the beginning. I'm pretty sure she cut it off with him. I mean, it's crazy that this is the conversation that we're like debating as to whether or not. So, of course, this is a fantasy, but there's no doubt that Pete Davidson, kind of like Kim Kardashian in a way, is actually becoming more popular for who he's dating than what he's actually doing. Of course, he's on Saturday Night Live and he had the movie come out, which was okay. It wasn't great. I don't even know if I made it through. It was like a decent type movie, but hey, congrats to Pete Davidson. Now, if I'm not mistaken, they're saying that they are only friends. That's how it starts. Of course, Davis, they deny it and they say it, but what would you put the odds on here, by the way, Davis, may I add, that somebody that they tipped off, that either Kim Kardashian or Pete Davidson had tipped off someone so they could get these pictures to go public? Because I would put a very high probability on that, like just randomly. I don't think this thing gets caught, but I think, hey, listen, I'm going to be here with Pete Davidson. You may want to show up. You get a couple of pictures.
I mean, I feel like that's pretty much always constant with Kim Kardashian and that whole family, really, like that because they don't really produce anything, right? I guess they do the TV show and one of them, the one that Travis Scott is engaged to and has a child with, she has like a makeup business, I think, that is pretty popular. Kylie Jenner. Yeah, oh, that's the one that. Which, and the only reason I even know about her is because I like Travis Scott, and they are, you know, they have a child together, and so she produces something. But yeah, the only way these people, stay in the limelight is through like manufactured publicity like this. So I would say you are 100% accurate on that.
Yeah, no, it definitely appears to be the case. All right, let's recap our top story of the day here. Davis, it looks like 6 to 10 weeks, according to NFL Network, for Derrick Henry of the Tennessee Titans. And here we are, another season where we've lost, what, two of the first five picks in our fantasy football drafts for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I mean, it basically feels like everyone has gone through an injury stint at some point. You know, the first round picks that haven't gotten injured, I guess Devontae Adams missed a game. Tyreek hasn't been injured. Ezekiel Elliott has not been injured. Kamara has not been injured. But I mean, the first round just totally fraught. I feel like the best position to pick from would have been like 9 or 10. You know, you get Devontae Adams, you get Tyreek Hill, and you come around and you pick up, you know, Joe Mixon or Najee Harris or something like that. And those are, you know, kind of good starts in fantasy football. But just, I mean, I'm sure this happens every year in fantasy football where you feel like it's the worst year ever with injuries, but it's really been a brutal year with injuries.
Yeah, I mean, two of the first three or four being out for almost the season feels extreme to me, no doubt. All right, coming up next, it's time for the Sports Grid 60. So Davis and I will be back to wrap up this show here on this Monday, November the 1st, 2021. So stay on the grid. We got plenty more to come. And then, of course, coming out a little bit later today, Scott Farrell, Coast to Coast. Be right back. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. As we close out our show here on this Monday, we turn it over to Davis Matic. He's got today's Sports Grid 60. Davis?
So I was looking through all of my leagues this morning because I got to figure out, okay, you know, who do I have that's injured? That's always what you do on Monday morning, right? You figure out, okay, am I going to win this week? Am I going to lose this week? What do I need on Monday night? We have two teams with a lot of fantasy starters. The Chiefs have like five fantasy starters. Some people are using Daniel Jones because of buys and injuries. Sterling Shepard, Kadarius Toney, Devontae Booker, Evan Ingram. And one thing I realize, and Craig, I've not heard anyone talk about this, the extra game this season added to the regular season of fantasy titles, it actually means that like 3-4 teams, 2-5 teams, they're actually drawing incrementally ever so slightly more live to make the playoffs because there's just an extra week for variance to shake out a little bit. So that is my pep talk to myself today as I saw some pretty bad fantasy teams in there.
Yeah, not quite done yet. Being 2-5, yeah, maybe you still have a shot. 2-6, I don't know. That's... feels like a bit much at that point. Okay, so Halloween has come and gone. It's the month of November, and yesterday here in my community, we had a nice little party. I saw kids out trick-or-treating. This was like a non-entity last year. So I sort of feel like step by step, we're starting to get more back to normal by the day. Maybe for some of you, it's already completely normal, but I guess where I am, it is still a little bit wacky, but kind of felt good yesterday and also made it out of a Sunday Halloween without having any candy whatsoever. I think that's the first time that I can honestly say that. All right, that will do it for our show here on this Monday. Thanks, of course, to our friends over at LTN. Of course, Brett Levy, our producer, and my co-host, Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. Tomorrow's show, I'll be joined by George Kurtz as we'll preview the Game 6 of the 2021 World Series and also a heavy look at the waiver wire. Who could you replace Derrick Henry with? Have a great Monday, everybody. See you tomorrow. Break, break.